Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. In case you're wondering, you know, oh no, pastor's going to go for another hour. No, I made preparation with this in light of the fact of our recognizing our graduates. So our message will be a little bit more brief today, but I trust it'll be a challenge, especially to our graduates. Mark chapter 12. Let's bow in prayer. Father, guide us in our time as we study your word. May our hearts be in tune with your spirit. May we be moved to action to do what your word instructs us to do. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today we've honored our high school graduates, and we're excited for our college graduates. Sorry we couldn't have spent more time celebrating your accomplishments as well. We're excited for you and the prospects that lay ahead. You're entering into exciting times. You're making important decisions. Education and career plans, new friendships, new relationships, and many other decisions. Today is also a special day for my wife and I. It's our anniversary today. It's our 34th wedding anniversary. She is the love of my life. Thank you. I met my wife the first weekend of my sophomore year of college as a 19-year-old boy. We started dating during that first semester. We dated for 4 years and were married on June 12, 1982. Some of you, it sounds like a long time ago, all right? So in other words, we have known each other, my wife and I, for 38 years. It's hard to believe. I was mentioning this to our men's group on Tuesdays. I have a men's group at Bickford Assisted Living. And one of them said, "You're just a young pup," as he referred to me. And he's, you know, said, "Hey, I've been married over 40 years. There was another 44 years. And there was one gentleman sitting right next to me, 66 years he's been married. And his wife is there with him at Bickford." And so he looked at me, and I had been married half the amount of years he and his wife were married. But what an accomplishment, and I praise God for the wife that he's given to me. And I mentioned that in light of the decisions that our graduates make here today. You are going to be making some major decisions in the next few years. And I would like to give you some very important words of instruction from God's word as it relates to moving forward and making yourself count through these difficult, challenging, and wonderful times. The main idea of my message this morning is to love the Lord your God and to love others. To love your God and to love others. I'm going to emphasize the first part more today. We all know that we need to love our neighbor, we need to love others, and we're going to just highlight that very briefly. But I want to emphasize today, especially for our graduates, but for all of us, to love God with all your heart. So number one, as we look at our outlines, love God, I'd like to share some thoughts on what is involved in this matter of loving our God. Number one, loving God ought to be our greatest goal in life. I am so thankful I had a mother and father that directed my path toward the Word, directed me to love God with all my heart. They told me about it, they modeled it for me, and they urged me to live out my life with love for God first. And I'm thankful for that heritage that I received. And that has been your heritage here at our church. And hopefully you've heard this over and over again, that you need to love God. Let that be the greatest goal, the greatest pursuit of your life. There is no greater love. I have a wonderful wife. She is a great love in my life, but hopefully my greatest love is for my God. Because if I love God first, everything else falls into place. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read these words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." It's a portion of Scripture called the Shema. It means to hear. In Hebrew, meaning to hear. The Shema is comprised of text from Deuteronomy 6, 11, and Numbers chapter 15. By far, this was the most familiar and most quoted text and most copied scripture in Judaism. In Jesus' day, every faithful Jew recited this very passage, the Shema, twice a day. We won't turn to it, but I encourage you this week to look at Deuteronomy 6. The nation of Israel is about ready to go into the promised land, a land that they had been promised to for many years. They're about ready to go in and to take over the land. And these are the very instructions that were given to the people at that time, to love the Lord their God. It's the greatest commandment. A lawyer approached Jesus and said, "Which of all the commandments is the greatest?" It's interesting, as you look back at the arguments that took place, Jim very aptly mentioned to you about how the scribes and the Pharisees were arguing over which one was more important. You see, in that day, they had something like 613 commandments. They had taken the Ten Commandments and added to them, and added to those, and added to those. And so there were 248 positive commands, do this or do that. And there were 365 negatives, don't do this and don't do that. For every don't do, it was a day that they would keep the devil away. So they had many. They had 365 don't do's and 248 do do's. All right? But love God with all your heart. Let that be the greatest desire of your heart. Do not shove it to the side. When you go off to college, you're away from mom and dad. You're away from the church. Many cases will never know what you're doing. But I encourage you, God knows what you're doing, God knows your heart, and God wants what's best for you, and the way for you to seek His will in your life is to love Him with all your heart. Second, loving God needs to involve the whole person. Notice in this text before us, heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the idea of comprehensiveness with your whole being. Love God with your emotions. This morning, I found the music was very moving to my emotions and my heart and my soul. I wish Judy could have been along here with me and we would be rejoicing together. But I trust that you're moved in your heart as you sing songs to your God. Love God with your emotions. Love Him with your intellect and your will, because love is a choice. And in our mind, that's where it begins. I will choose to love my God even when I don't feel like it. I will choose even when my will says I want to do other things. I want to live it up. I want to do the things that the people in the world are doing. No, our will says I will love God with all my being. Genuine love of God is intelligent. It's feeling, willing, and serving. We ought to be passionate. We ought to be doing it with all of our strength. And notice, it would be easy to just say, well, I love God. But the challenge here is love God with, what's the word before? All your strength, with all your heart, with all your soul and mind and strength. God's wholehearted love for us cannot be answered with half-hearted commitment from us to Him. By listing heart, soul, mind, and strength, no area is left out. We're to love Him with everything we've got. We're not to leave a little corner. We're not to just leave one day of the week for Him and the rest of our lives say, I have free choice. I can do what I want. No. Sunday as well as Monday needs to be a love relationship between us and our God with our all. Third, loving God should be more than external show. There are two Deuteronomy passages, as I've already mentioned, Deuteronomy 6 and 11. Exodus 13 as well. These were passages of Scripture that were put in a little box. You know what that little box was called? Phylactery. A phylactery that they would tie on the forehead of the Jews. They would tie on the arm, the left arm of the Jewish men, And during prayer, they would have these attachments to their forehead and to their left arm. Why? To remind them. Because Scripture had said, bind them as a sign on your hand and as frontals on your forehead. So they literally did that. Bound them to their forehead, bound them to their arm. But the problem became that they were doing that as an external show, but their hearts were missing in the process. And so the Lord was constantly reminding the people, I'm glad to see your external show, but that's not enough. He didn't say, I'm glad either. He said, I don't like all this. You're whitewashed sepulchers. You're doing everything for show, but your heart is far from me. There is a tendency to become so familiar with reciting the words that we lose sight of the reality of Jesus Christ in our life. God is not impressed with just the external. He wants your heart. And so graduates, I urge you, may it come from the heart. Don't just come to church. Don't just go to church through the remainder of the summer just because mom and dad have required of it. Go back to home, and if your heart is not in it, then get it right before God. That is so essential. God is not pleased with just external ritual. He wants our hearts. Fourth, loving God first means loving God more than anything else. Throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites continually had to be reminded to put away the gods from the nations around them. And even during the times when they weren't influenced by other nations, they made their own gods. I mean, remember when Moses was up on Mount Sinai? Hadn't returned for a while. And before he came back down, what were they doing? Forming their own god, the golden calf. And began to worship that. They wanted something that they could hold in their hand. Something they could control. Something that was tangible. But God needs to be our main love in our life. We need to love God more than anything else. More than our careers. More than our girlfriends, wives, and family members. More than our friends. More than our material possessions. More than our money. I believe if we love God in the proper perspective and keep Him first, all those other things will come into line and can be used to bring glory to God. But when we start loving even those good things, our career, our wives, our children, more than God, they become gods in our life. They become idols in our life. If anything takes the place of God in our lives, they become idols that we worship. Don't allow the good things that God brings into your life to become the very things that crowds God out of your life. So when God gives you a career, when God gives you a good education, don't say, look what I have done. Say, thank you, God, for what you have done. I love you, and I want to use this job and these relationships, these possessions, the money that you've entrusted to me to bring glory to you. Love God with all your heart. Second, love your neighbor. And again, as I mentioned, I'm not even going to delve into there much except to say this. Loving God and loving your neighbor are inseparable. You cannot say, I'll choose to love God, but you know what, my neighbor, I don't want to love them. They're too hard. I'll love God, but I don't want to love my wife. I don't want to love these friends. No way. I don't want to love those church folk. No. Loving God and loving your neighbor are absolutely inseparable. You cannot choose, pick and choose which one you will do. You must love both. Who is my neighbor? Everyone else besides God. That pretty much covers it all. Your mate, other church members that get under your skin, the person in need, the family member we have disagreements with, that person who's the outcast, the lonely, the unlovely. If we love God with our all, we will love our neighbor. So let's wrap it up. We're just kind of doing a short flight today. It's one of those little puddle jumpers today. In conclusion, obedience to God is important. In fact, Jesus said this. The Word of God reiterates this over and over again. Obedience is better than what, class? Sacrifice. Obedience to His commands. And if this is the ultimate, this is the greatest commandment, then we need to obey. We need to obey. And so in our text before us, as we see here before us, the scribe, he goes on in verse 33 and says this, as he's reiterating, he says, to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as itself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. And Jesus says, you're beginning to understand. You're getting it. Following God's ways are most important. Not just putting on a show. Not just going through the motions. The book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about the lifelong struggle that Solomon went through. He attained wealth. He attained everything this world could offer. And he went after things that God said, don't allow those things to change your heart. Love me first. Well, he allowed those things to take his love off of God and on those things. And so he came to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes and he says, you know what? I want to bring this all to a conclusion. He's looking back at his life and he's thinking about how he can pass on word to us, to our graduates and to all of us. And he said this as he brought the whole book to an end, to a conclusion. He says this, fear God and keep His commandments. Love God with all your heart. Fear Him. Not be afraid of Him that He's going to destroy you, every little thing you do. No, love Him. Yes, fear Him. But obey His Word. Obey His commandments. And I believe your life will be happier, will be blessed if you do what He has instructed you to do. God says He wants our hearts more than anything. He doesn't care for our offerings if it's not done from the heart. Oh, may it be our desire to live our lives with love for God and love for others. Just think what it would look like if these graduates, high school and college graduates, went out into this world with a love for God, with all of their affection, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. I believe this world would really be impacted for Jesus Christ. Don't settle for anything less. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so excited for these graduates and for all that lies ahead for them. But also I fear that the world is going to be right there trying to get their attention. And the world and the flesh and the devil are all working together to try to deter us and distract us. And especially these young lives who have all their lives ahead of them. Oh God, please protect them. May we as a church pray for them. But oh God, stir their hearts even this morning and may they even remember these words that were preached this morning. May they never forget them. May they desire, determine, and plan to love You with all their hearts. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.